ब्रह्मानन्दं परमसुखदं केवलं ज्ञानमूर्तिं द्वन्द्वातीतं गगनसदृशं तत्त्वमस्यादिलक्ष्यम् एकं नित्यं विमलमचलं सर्वधि साक्षिभूतं भावातीतं त्रिगुणरहितं सद्गुरुं तं नमामि। ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ॐ ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। Last week we started this chapter 13, and the chapter started with a question by Arjun. So he the verse is an interpolation. It is not there in the original Mahabharata. It is not there in the original Mahabharata, because of which the original Bhagavad Gita has only 700 verses, but the Bhagavad Gita that we are referring to, Gurudev's commentary, it has 701 verses. The verses was interpolated by Madhusudan Saraswati ji just to give us a connection as to why Bhagwan starts his teaching. So the question by Arjun is asking, what is the difference between three pairs of opposites, Purusha and Prakriti, Kshetra and Kshetrajna, and knowledge and that which is to be known? I told you that they appear to be three pairs, but they are actually only one pair, where Prakriti, Kshetra and knowledge are one and the same. And then Purusha, Kshetrajna, and that ought to be known. What ought to be known? Neyam is one and the same. So Bhagwan starts his teaching by explaining what Kshetra, Kshetrajna is. So when he explains Kshetra, please understand he's also explaining Prakriti and he's also explaining knowledge. And when he explains Kshetrajna and how that is to be achieved, he is also referring to Purusha as well as to that ought to be known, that which ought to be known. So we read the second chapter, second verse. And Bhagwan starts his teaching. We have read it. Idam shariram Kaunteya. I told you, Kaunteya, son of Kunti. One meaning of Kunta is a sharp intellect. Kunti was a very intelligent. She was the daughter of a king. And so she was also very well educated and extremely intelligent. She's the only person whom we know who has asked for sorrows. There is nobody that I know that I have asked for sorrows, but she has asked for sorrows. And the reason is she said to Bhagwan that in sorrow, I will never forget you. That's the reason. She says that's the only time. And that's the only time we remember God. We don't remember him when we are happy. So Kunti is the only person that has asked for that. She was a very intelligent woman. So her children also are intelligent. Kaunteya just doesn't refer to Arjun. It refers to all the Pandavas. But here's, because the dialogue is going on between Arjun and Bhagwan, Kaunteya refers to Arjun. Hey Kaunteya, hey intelligent person, you have asked an intelligent question. And I'm going to tell you the answer. Idam shariram Kaunteya kshetram iti abhidhiyate. So we start with kshetra. So I've read the meaning. This sharira, this body is called as kshetra. That is a literal translation. So kshetra, the word kshetra, ksharanat kshetra. Ksharanat kshetra means that from which things are constantly leaking. So if we take that definition and if you look at our own body, tears are leaking from the eyes, nose is running, saliva is flowing out. if I run, sweat is flowing out of my body. If I get a small cut, blood is flowing out, and then I need not go any further. You can imagine what else leaks out of the body, pus, abscess, thousand things. So that is one connotation of calling this body a kshetra, a field which leaks, an object which leaks. The second meaning of kshetra is field. Literal meaning of kshetra is field. And in a field, we plant seeds and we reap the fruit or the flowers or the grains or whatever. So there is we plant things and then the fruits are reaped. So this body is a counter through which we plant the seeds of papa and punya through our actions. Every action that we do with whatever attitude, we do good actions or we do bad actions, that generates papa and punya. Those are the seeds. Those seeds of papa and punya generate, papa will generate dukkha, punya will generate sukha. And then that sukha and dukkha is experienced by us. So body is a counter through which seeds are sown and fruits are reaped. And that's why also it is a field. It's kshetra. The other meaning of sharira is shiryate iti sharira. Shiryate means, excuse me, mistake. I ate something oily. Anyway. So shiryate iti sharira means that which decays, that which has disease, that which you know, automatically gets old. So shiryate iti sharira. That is also one meaning of sharira. Then the Bhagwan goes on to say that the one who knows this kshetra is a kshetrajna. So jna is know, to know. So kshetrajna means the knower of the field. How do we know this body? That first we should understand. How do I know this body? One is in the natural way. Naturally, I know that, you know, at a certain point in time in my life, I was very short. I was small. Then I grew into a, you know, youth body. And then now middle-aged body, old body. Hair was long and black. And now it's short and white. And all these things we know, we know, and this is the natural way of knowing our body, anybody, for anybody. The second way of knowing the body is through advice, upadesh. This upadesh in the Vedantic field, the upadesh is always from the spiritual master. And the spiritual master, if the master is in spirituality, is always going to give only one upadesh, one advice: you're not the body. That's all he's going to say. He's never going to say you are the body, this, that, etc. We can also, of course, get advice in the material world from our doctor, who will, you know, who will tell, okay, your body needs this, you need to do that, etc., etc., etc. The doctor will say you need it. The master will say your body needs it. That's the difference. But that is one way of knowing our body. Because this is, we're talking about the knower of the body. The how do I know the body? This is another way. Third way of knowing the body is by experience. So when the doctor tells us that this is my experience, that I had something oily and now my throat is scratching. So that is experience. So experience tells us that there are certain things that our body cannot handle. And there are certain things which I can handle. So what I should do, what I should not do. It's just our own experience. Just because I can't handle something doesn't mean somebody else can't. But that is our own experience. So certain foods don't suit me, or certain climates don't suit me, whatever. I'm allergic. So certain things, you know, I should be away from them, etc., etc. That is another way of knowing the body. Now, idam is the keyword here. Idam means this. Those of us who have studied Upadesh Sar, Bhagwan Ravan Maharshi there also says there are two types of thoughts: aham thought and idam thought. The aham thought is only one. The idam thought is many, many, many. Here Bhagwan is calling idam shariram. Please understand that shariram, body, is an object which is a gross object which can be seen by yourself and by somebody else. But please also note that thought also is an object because it is seen. It is a subtle object. Only difference is only you can see your own thought. Nobody else can. Nevertheless, I see my own thought. You see your own thought. See. And that's why it falls under the category of idam. Whatever falls under the category of idam, this, know it to be an object. Know it to be seen. So when I say this computer, this stapler, this book, this, whatever this I say is seen. And then there is a law. Just like, you know, there is a law of gravity, there is a law of relativity. Law stays no matter what. So law of gravity, anywhere in the world you go and you throw something up in the air, it is going to come down at a particular speed. There is not like, oh, I'm in Europe, so if I throw things up in the air, nothing will come down. There's nothing like that. Same way. This law here, axiom, is yadrashya or yadrashyam, that which is seen, tad jadam. This is the law. Whatever is seen is jada, is inert. Yat jada tat vikari. Whatever is seen is changing. Vikari, vikar is to change. So vikari is that which changes. So first, yat drisham tat jadam. Yat jadam tat vikari. Yat vikari, whatever changes, tat mithya. This is law. This cannot be changed. This doesn't change at any point in time. So idam is seen. Whatever comes under the category of idam is seen. If it is seen, yadrisham tad jadam. It is inert. Whatever is inert is changing. And whatever is changing is mithya, false. Not totally untrue, but false. So when I say seen, that's why I told you, thought also is seen, body also is seen, computer is seen, all these things in the world. Even right now, when you are looking at me, actually you're only looking at an inert object. Why? Because you're looking at my body alone. I also am only looking at inert objects. If I can see anything in this world, know that thing that is seen is inert. It has to be inert. This is the law. So you might feel that I'm not dead. Or you might feel, oh, you're speaking. How can you be inert? No, you are only seeing my body, and that body is inert. Even at this moment, body is always inert. Okay, and we'll come to that later. Once again, so yat rasham tat jadam, yat jadam tat vikari. It is changing. We know in the case of our body, can we deny? It is experience. Nobody else has to tell us that your body has changed. Can we say that? As I was born, like that only I am today? No, we are changing. We are changing constantly, actually. Even by the hour, by the minute, we are changing. We just don't know it. Inside our cells are dying, cells are being born. So there is all kinds of changes that are happening within us. Digestion is going on. If we have eaten, digestion is going on. So there's change there as well. So there is constant change which is happening in the body. And whatever is changing is false. And false, the definition of false is what changes in the three periods of time is false. So as opposed to it, we'll come to that, what is opposed to it. But false, understand that we are not saying false means it doesn't exist at all. We are not saying it is like the horns on a rabbit. Horns on a rabbit do not exist at all. They are just not there. Period. But when I say false or mithya, mithya means something which is seen at a particular time, but will not be seen at some other time. Clear? Any questions? Those who are coming brand new into chapter 13 is going to be a little difficult because this chapter is pretty high. But so far, do you understand? This is the law. I'm telling you a law. Like, if you were to give me a definition of law of gravity, that's it. There is nothing. Why, how, this, that, nothing. This is the law. Okay, we'll finish this verse and then we can come back to questions. Okay, Okay, so idam, when we use the word idam, that's why this idam word was used in Upadesh Sar by Bhagwan Ramana Maharshi to indicate thought. So when he said this thought, that for that thought, yad drisham, it is seen, therefore it is inert. And because it is inert, it changes. And because it changes, it is mithya, it is false. So that stays for thought. So thought is an object, body also is an object. Both of them fall under kshetra, under the field, under the definition of field, under the category of field or prakriti or knowledge. All of them, same thing. Now, so if there is a field and also there is a knower of a field, then that knower has to be opposite of what the known is. If the knower also is this knower, then if I say this knower, then that knower also is becoming jada and vikari and mithya. So if I go to the definition of kshetradnya, yat drishyam is idam, is kshetra, so opposite of drishya will become drishta. So opposite of what is seen is the seer. Kshetradnya is opposed to kshetra. If there are two kshetras, there is the computer and there is the book. The book doesn't see the computer and neither does the computer see the book. Two idams cannot see each other because they are both inert. Please understand. That is why when you go into subtle, more subtle Vedanta, one thought cannot recognize another thought. It is not thought which is recognizable because both are inert. How can inert recognize inert? So if something is being known, it has to be opposite of inert. So opposite of drishya, seen, has to be the seer. So yat drishya tat jadam. So if the seen is inert, then the seer has to be chetan. Has to be chetan. It cannot be inert. If it is inert, then inert cannot see each other. So when Bhagwan says this is kshetra and the knower is kshetradnya, the kshetradnya has to be the seer. The seer has to be chetan. And if he is chetan, conscious, alive, then he has to be a vikari. Because that which is inert is vikari, is changing. So whatever is opposite to changing has to be non-changing, unchanging. So it is avikari. And because it is avikari, because what we said, yad vikari tad mithya. Whatever is vikari, whatever is changing is mithya. So whatever is not changing has to be real. It has to be real. Opposite. And what is real? The definition of real as per Vedanta is that which does not change in the three periods of time. Because our definition of real, I really saw the movie. I really heard the music. I really see the computer. I'm really seeing you. I'm really hearing you. That is what we think is real. But Vedantic real is different. Vedantic is real. Real is that which is not changing in the three periods of time. Okay? If kshetra is falling under idam, then this seer is falling under aham. And the aham is kshetradnya. Aham is kshetradnya. And is the knower of the field. Now, the common thing that we have, the common thought that we have is, okay, then I'm the kshetradnya. I know my body. So let us see this I. As Gurudev would put it, it is the small I. Because how do I know the body? Through the mind, through thought, right? Because now we are seeing, okay, what is kshetradnya then? Yeah, I know what kshetradnya is. It is me. I my mind, my ego, I know my body. Then I am the kshetradnya. So let us for a moment consider that the mind is kshetradnya. Because how do I know my body? Through the mind, na? Through thought. That's how I know my body. So mind is kshetradnya. We suppose that. Okay. Now let's see if we take mind as kshetradnya, whether it falls within the purview of the definition yad drishta tat chetan, yat chetan tat avikari, and yat avikari tad tad real, tad satyam. What did I say? What word did I use? I forget. Yadra. Okay, so opposite of mithya, which is real, really real. Now, when we go, when we say drashta, seer, that fits the definition. Yeah, mind is the one that sees. Mind is the one that knows that I'm talking. Mind is the one that I know that so many people are listening. Mind is the one that is seeing the computer. Mind is the one that knows that the computer is here. This is the time. What is this? This, etc., etc. So seer part, we can live with. All right, let's live with that. Chetan word will be explained in great detail in verse 6. So I'm not going to go into that. Right now, let us take that the mind is Chetan. Let's just take, assume. Okay. So the seer is the mind. I see the body. Mind is the seer. And of course, mind is alive. Because if my mind was not alive, could I have been able to speak? Would I have been able to listen? Would I have been able to move my hands? Would I have been able to do anything? So, okay, let's take mind as Chetan as well. We're going to go into this word again now in great detail. Right now, let's take it. Yat Chetan Tat Avikari. Now comes the problem. Which one of us can say that my mind has not changed at all since I was born? Can anybody say that? That's where the problem comes. There is problem in Chetan, there's problem in Drashta, but forget it. That's very, very subtle. I'm not even going to go into that right now. Just with this avikari experience, you tell me your experience. Any one of you tell me my mind has absolutely whatever I liked in my childhood, I liked them. Whatever I didn't like, I don't like. Whoever people I hated, I still hate them. Whoever I loved, I still love them. If you can claim that, then we can go with, okay, maybe Kshetradnya is the mind. But we can't. None of us can. And that's where we come to know that when Bhagwan is saying Kshetradnya, he's not referring to the mind intellect equipment. Even though it is the mind which knows me, my body and everything, etc., etc. So it is changing. It is mind is vikari. That's why it will fall under Kshetra. Bhagwan himself will say that. But let's take our experience right now. We don't even need Shruti. We don't need Bhagwan to tell us that my mind has changed. Then, yat avikari tat satyam. So, if the mind is changing, can it fall also under the definition of trikala abadita satyam? Trikala, three times. In the three periods of time, has the mind remained real? Has it not changed? Change means it is unreal, because in the morning what I feel, I may not feel the same thing in the evening. So the mind has changed. And actually in deep sleep, it is not even there. So because of the best is the avikari, if you can understand that, and that there's nothing to understand, you know that. Nobody can claim. So because it is changing the mind, therefore the mind cannot be called as Kshetradnya. Please remember. This is where the problem comes. Okay? Now, this is Bhagwan then talking about Jivatva. The thing about this chapter is there is only the supreme reality and then there is the body. There is no Jiva in between. There is, in this chapter, it is not there. If I think that the Jiva is Kshetradnya, has not our jiva changed? What is jiva? Ego. Basically, jivatva is ego. Has not my ego changed? And how does ego change? Because when I was small, then my ego was, I'm in primary school. Then the ego went to, I'm in high school. I'm now a university graduate. I am working. Now I've got so much pay. I got a bonus. So that ego is constantly changing. Even right now, my ego is telling me that I'm the speaker. Your ego is telling you you're the listener. But the minute this lecture is over, I cease to be a speaker. You cease to be a listener. The ego changes. So that is why we must understand very clearly that this Kshetradnya is not, Bhagwan is not referring to Jiva, is not referring to mind, is not referring to ego. All these things will fall under Kshetra. Bhagwan himself will tell that. So therefore, Kshetrajna is actually referring to the Supreme Reality. Is this clear? Is it confusing? Is it okay? Those who are coming for the first time to this chapter is a it can be difficult. But this is simple. Is this simple? Idam.
One says somewhere that Gyan or Agyan, everything is me.
What? What is me?
Yeah, Gita mein, Bhagwan says one place that Gyan or Agyan, Chetan Chetra Chetragya, he is Chetra, he is Chetragya.
Chetra is Kshetrajna. We'll come to that in verse 6. That is even going much deeper. To understand Kshetrajna, then we will go even deeper into that level. Right now, just understand that Kshetra is this. Whatever is this is seen. Whatever is seen is inert. Whatever is inert is changing. And whatever is changing is mithya. Kshetrajna is opposite of that. So it is the seer. It is Chetan. What this Chetana is, that's why verse 6 will explain Chetana. That's why I'm not going into Chetana right now. So it is Chetan, and then whatever is Chetan is avikari, unchanging, and whatever is avikari, whatever is not changing, is Satyam. And the definition of Satya is that which does not change in the three periods of time. Therefore, when we have the waking, dream, and deep sleep states, we say that all three of them are mithya. Mithya means the waking state is experienced for a certain amount of time during the day. Then the person goes into deep sleep where the waking and the dream state get negated, get falsified. And that's why they are not real. That is why they are not real. While waking, I think, you know, this is real, this is real. That real is just a relative real. What I see. So waking state is a relative real state. It is real right now. Right now I'm awake. Everybody is awake. It is real. But the minute I go to bed, it will get falsified. And when I wake up, the deep sleep will get falsified. When I go into dream, the deep sleep and waking will get falsified. So the three states they mutually negate each other. There can be only one state at one time. There's daydreaming, but forget that. So if I'm awake, I am not sleeping as well as I cannot be dreaming. If I'm in deep sleep, I cannot be dreaming or I'm not waking. If I'm dreaming, that is not a deep sleep state and neither is it a waking state. So these three states negate each other. But what remains common through the three states is the Kshetrajna. Is this Kshetrajna which Bhagwan is talking here about. And that is the one that is Purusha in the other two, this thing. And that is the one that ought to be known. That is the only thing that ought to be known. Because Arjuna asked, Jnanam and Neyam. I want to know Jnanam, what is knowledge, and what is Neyam, what is to be known, what ought to be known. So this Kshetrajna is the only thing that ought to be known. So far, so good.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
There is that you said when we are sleeping, we leave that or we forget the waking stage. And then when we are in dream, we forget that daytime and things like that. But there is one thing that we remember. We remember we're awake. We remember we slept. We remember that we had dream. So would it be that Kshetrajna is there, that conscience was there or Chetan was
there? That's what I said.
Okay.
That's exactly what I said. That these three states negate each other. But what is there throughout these three states is a Kshetrajna. And that is why I have memory that I slept well last night. I have memory what happened yesterday. I have memory what I dreamt. That is Kshetrajna, not the waking state, not the waker, not the dreamer, not the deep sleeper. It is the one that is supporting all the three states, yet remaining aloof. And Jiva Bhava, that is another reason. In deep sleep, where is the ego? That is to be questioned as well. Do I in deep sleep know that I'm a woman, I'm rich, I've got worries, I'm happy, I've got so many children, where I'm sleeping, what I'm doing? That is ego. The ego is telling me that I'm a woman, I'm married, I've got two children, I've got this, I'm a teacher, I'm not a teacher, I'm a this, I'm a that. Whatever is being told, whatever is that I know, ego is telling me. So where is that ego in deep sleep? That's the reason that I don't know. That's why it's a good thing, because if I have too many worries, once I go to sleep, at least I forget my worries. So the ego that is worrying, the ego that is jealous, the ego that is happy, everything is happening to the ego. And therefore, in waking state, I feel like the ego is Chetan. The ego is feeling things. Na? The mind is feeling things. That's why I'm telling you, don't think that mind to be Kshetradnya, because that mind is changing. And we will see how that Chetan applies there. At that time, we will see what the difference is between when Bhagwan says that I am both Kshetra and Kshetradnya. That also we will see. Okay. Then, going further. Kshetradnyam chapimam viddi sarva kshetreshu bharata kshetra kshetradnya yor jnanam yattat jnanam matam mama. Do thou also know me as the knower of the field in all fields, O Bharata. Knowledge as to the field and the knower of the field is considered by me to be the knowledge. So he had asked, what is knowledge and what ought to be known? So when we say that there is the body, idam shariram, and then there is a kshetradnya, we might also misunderstand that there is so many bodies I see, then maybe there are so many kshetradnyas. Right? There is a body and there is a kshetradnya. Okay, so every body has one individual kshetradnya, individual knower. To negate that, here Bhagwan says, know me as the knower of the field in all fields. So this is also another point which tells us that it is not the jiva. Kshetradnya is not the jiva. Remember one thing, jiva is different in all of us. Jiva is different. And what is jiva? Jiva is supreme reality plus our vasanas. And the reason that the jiva is different is because the vasanas are different in all of us. And that is why each one of us likes different things, enjoys different things, doesn't like different. It's not like I don't like something, everybody. See, if jivas were all same, then same thing this jiva should like and other jivas also should like and dislike the same things. But that is not our experience. We see that even in siblings, in families, right? There is one child wants to go for literature, one science, one painting, one this, one that. So many different attitudes are there. And that depends on the jiva. And therefore, there are many, many jivas. But Kshetradnya in all the multiple jivas is only one. That needs to be understood. That's why you understand that Kshetradnya is different from jiva. Kshetradnya is not jiva. As many bodies, that many jivas. Please remember. So even in an insect body, in a minuscule bug, in a fungus, in what, there is a jiva. All the animals, all the plants, there is a jiva there. Jiva is supreme reality plus vasanas. Plus, there is a plus there. Okay. And this, and that's why. When we know, this is what Bhagwan is saying in the next line. The one, by the way, Bharata is the name of Arjun. Bha is light. Bha is light and Ratha is rebel. So light representing knowledge. So Bharata, when the word is used, name for Arjun, one who is rebelling in knowledge, means one who has great knowledge. That's what the term means, Bharata. So know that this Kshetradnya is me and I am the only one in all the Kshetras. And that is the pointer that he is not referring to jiva. He cannot say that the jiva is the same. There is no jiva in this chapter. very honestly speaking, Jiva will come in 15th chapter. But here there is no Jiva. There is a Jiva, but Bhagavan is not talking about that. So that's why we need to understand here that Kshetra Kshetradnyar Yoho Jnanam. Kshetra Kshetradnyar Yoho means dual case. So what he's saying is both, those who know both Kshetra and Kshetradnya, that is real knowledge. But what is real knowledge is to understand that Kshetradnya is only one in all the bodies. If you think that Kshetradnya is different in different bodies, that is not real knowledge. That's why he says, Kshetra Kshetradnya Yoho Jnanam Yattat Jnanam Matam Mata. That itself is knowledge, where I know that there are many Kshetras, but Kshetranya is only one. The self is only one. That's why we say upon realization, what is the realization? The self in me is the self in all. That is the realization of oneness. That is Advaita Vedanta. Is this clear? Is it confusing? Any questions? Okay. Understand one thing, that without the Kshetradnya, Kshetra is not possible. Body, if this Chetan goes away from this body, can this body exist? Simple. Without Kshetradnya, Kshetra is not possible. We see this computer, everything. Do they have any mind, thought, intellect of their own? No. Does the computer tell me enough? You used me too much. Now I don't want to be used anymore. You're abusing me. No. So without Kshetradnya, Kshetra is not possible. But without Kshetra, expression of Kshetradnya is not possible. Without this body, okay, I am alive. But without the vocal cords, without this body, can I tell you what I know? Can I express? Can the Kshetradnya express? So to express, for Kshetradnya to express, body is required. Body, mind, intellect is required. But the body, mind, intellect cannot function, cannot exist without the Kshetradnya. This knowledge also we must have. One is that there are many, many Kshetras. There is only one Kshetradnya. He's the same in all. Not only all humans, please remember, all plants, all animals, all reptiles, Manisha Panchakam, right from blade of grass to Brahmaji, it is the same Kshetradnya. Right from a minuscule blade of grass, or they say Pippilika, ant, from a minuscule ant to Brahmaji, right up to Brahmaji. So all the devatas, Gandharvas, Kinnaras, whatever the beings are there in all other worlds, this Kshetradnya is one and the same. Okay, that is one thing to remember. That is what he's saying. This is the correct knowledge of Kshetradnya. If you think Kshetradnya is changing, if you think Kshetradnya is there are more than one Kshetradnya, that is not correct knowledge. And without Kshetradnya, Kshetra cannot exist. And without Kshetra, Kshetradnya cannot express. So both these are required for some action to come out, speech to come out, thought to come out, for anything to happen, both these are required. Okay, any questions? Clear as mud. Okay. Now these are simple verses here. Tat kshetram yaccha yadrucha yadvikari yatascha yata sachayo yat prabhavascha tat samasena meshrunu. What the field and of what nature what are its modifications and whence it is, and also who he is and what his powers are, that hear from me in brief. So basically what Bhagwan has done here, that he is giving the contents of the entire chapter, what is going to come. It's like a trailer, it's a preview. So tat samasena me shunu, please hear me in brief. I will tell you that what exactly is the field, because now he's going to describe what the field is. And because question is, what is the field and what is the kshetra? What is kshetra and kshetra? Question, remember the question. What is kshetra and what is kshetrajna? So immediately Bhagwan answered, idam shariram kshetra. So this body is kshetra, and the knower of that kshetra is kshetrajna. Bhagwan has answered. Okay. Now, what exactly falls under that kshetra? Now, I told you mind, but now he will tell. So what exactly falls under the kshetra and what exactly falls under kshetrajna, that has to be explained in detail, which he is going to do. Okay, so that is what he's telling. Whatever that kshetra that I told you, the body kshetra, what falls under this term kshetra, I will tell you. And then what falls under kshetrajna. There's only one thing which falls under kshetrajna, but what kshetrajna is in detail. Now, every text, it can tell us the goal, but it also has to tell us the means. So goal is kshetrajna, yeah, but if Bhagwan just says, okay, that's the goal, now go find it yourself, how do I know how to find it? So he will only give the means. And I told you in the introduction that Nirgun Nirakar, how to do that upasana and who is qualified, was not told in chapter 12. That is what he will then explain. Because to know that kshetrajna, remember, this kshetrajna is the supreme reality. So it's Nirgun Nirakar. He's not saying this is Ram is kshetrajna, Krishna is kshetrajna, Hanuman is... No. He has said kshetrajna is the supreme reality, means formless. Means Nirgun Nirakar. So who is qualified for that Nirgun Nirakar and how to reach that, which was not told in chapter 12, will now be told in chapter 13. Okay. So for the Nirgun Nirakar Upasakas, this is very, very important chapter. Otherwise, better be embodied one. Identified with the body, it's easy to see the body. There is no form here. No form. Yeah, Ibrahim Saini, you have a question?
In the translation here, when it says also who he is and what his powers are, it's capitalized he.
That's why kshetrajna.
Okay.
That's why. That's what I told you, na? Yeah, what is kshetra and what is kshetrajna, you hear from me. Because just one thing was given. This is kshetra. Exactly what is kshetrajna? I mean, all right? So, this is this thing. Now, next. Rishi bhir bahuda gitam chando bhir vividhai prataka brahma sutra padaischaiva hetumad bhir vinishchitaihi. Rishis have sung in many ways, in various distinctive chants, and also in the suggestive words indicative of Brahman, full of reasoning and decisive. This is, you know, this is Bhagwan's humility. What he's saying here is what I'm going to tell you. Rishis have said it. So he's not saying, you know, he's Bhagwan. He could have said, I'm telling you. But there is no I. There is no ego. So that's why what he's saying. The Rishis are like Vashishta, Kanad, Patanjali. You know, the great Rishis of yore who got these mantras in their higher states of meditation. They have sung, Gitam, sung. They have sung with chandas, with tune. In different ways, they have sung the glories or they have sung what is kshetrajna. This is what is meant here. Brahma Sutra. Now this Brahma Sutra word, please understand, it is not referring to Brahma Sutras because Brahma Sutras came much, much, much later than Mahabharata and much, much, much later than Bhagavad Gita. So Brahma Sutra means Brahma there refers to Brahman, and Sutra means some aphorism or some words describing Brahman. So that is what he means here by Brahma Sutra. It is not the text Brahma Sutra. So this Brahma Sutra Padaihi cha eva hetuhu decisive. So these rishis have told in a very, very decisive manner. There are words, decisive words explaining Brahman. That I will tell you, not like my own knowledge, though it is his own knowledge anyways. Bhagwan here is talking from the standpoint of supreme reality. Okay. So what the rishis told indicates the Upanishads or the Vedas. And that knowledge supported by logic, and this I have told you before also, there is what is known as Shruti. So that is what the Shruti says, what the Upanishads say or Bhagavad Gita says. Then there is Yukti, Shruti, Yukti and Anubhuti. These three have to match. So whatever Shruti says, Advaita Vedanta, we as followers of Bhagavan Shankaracharya, whatever Shruti says, we do not question that. That is beyond question. So what we do is we present logic to match what Shruti is saying, and then we check our own experience, because logic can be wicked logic also. So therefore, whatever logic is presented has to be backed up by experience. If it is already backed up by experience, you don't need logic. Like I told you, mind is changing. Do I need to give you logic for that? It's your experience. Why do you need logic? What I experience, I don't need somebody to explain to me. If I jump up, I will fall down. So actually, law of gravity is my experience. If I want to know the details of that law, somebody has to what speed I will come down, etc., etc. But if I jump off of a building, I'm going to fall down. I'm not going to go up. That is experience. That way, that's why when I say mind is changing, I don't have to give any logic for that. Shruti is saying it, but it's our experience. Body is changing. It is our experience. So whatever is said by Shruti, said by the rishis, there will be logic and then there will be experience. If there is experience, then there is no point of logic. Why do I need to give logic for something which you yourself are experiencing? All right. Now, in the next two verses, 6 and 7, he is going to explain kshetra. That's it. That would be it.
Mahabhutyanyahankaro buddhiravyaktamevacha indriyani dashaikamcha panchachendriya gocharaha.
I'm going to read both verses together.
Ichha dvesha sukham dukham sanghatashchetanadhritihi etat kshetram samasena savikaramudarutam.
The great elements, egoism, intellect, and also the unmanifested, mula prakriti, the 10 senses and one and the 5 objects of the senses, desire, hatred, pleasure, pain, aggregate, body, intelligence, fortitude, this kshetra has been thus briefly described with its modifications. That is it. This is kshetra. Okay. So this is what now he's explaining in these two. Very simple. Mahabhuta is the 5 elements. Mahabhuta. And along with that, ahankara, intellect, and avyakta. So in our BMI chart, there is one individuality and totality. So in the BMI chart, this vasanas is this avyakta. Here that he's referring to, that is avyakta. And from that, those vasanas are coming mind and intellect. Okay. And the 5 elements, because the body, of course, mind, intellect also has come from the this thing. The entire this sangha, this body, mind, intellect assemblage has come from the 5 elements. If we know our, you know, creation in Tathabodh, we saw there was Maya, and then from Maya came the 5 elements, and from the Sattvic elements, and from the Rajasic, and from the Tamasic elements, this body, mind, and intellect has come. The pranas came from the Rajasic element, etc., etc. So 5 elements. And then there is the intellect, ego, and the vasanas. So that's 8. Then indriyani dashaikam. Dashaikam is 11. Dasha plus ekam, that's 11. So there are the 5 organs of perception. and there are the five organs of action, and mind is their king, because mind is the one that receives the perception, sense perceptions through the five sense organs, and then responds by way of an action through the organs of action. So we have five sense organs, five organs of action, and one mind which is controlling both. Therefore, it was intellect and ego and the five elements, and then this mind comes here. So mind also is kshetra. I already told you how mind is kshetra, and here Bhagwan himself is saying it. And that is the simplest reason, is that mind is changing, intellect is changing, ego is changing. Just if we just stick with that, you know why it is kshetra. And also it is seen. I know my mind. I told you, I know my thoughts. They're subtle and nobody else knows them, but I know them. I see them. So that's why it becomes kshetra. Chapancha chendriya gocharaha. So this another five, these are the objects of the world. And the objects of the world, take any object, they fall under only these five categories: form, smell, taste, touch, and sound. Whatever object it is. So if I take computer, then it has a form, so I can see the form. If there is a ripe mango, then I can smell it. If there is some cloth, I can, silk cloth, I can touch it. So, or thorn, you know, that touch. So taste. So all the objects of the world, they will fall under one or more of these categories only. So that's why in Vedanta, we say there are only five objects. Either they fall under form and color, color and form, taste, touch, smell, and sound. So there's only five objects. Take any object. Any object. So that's why these five objects are kshetra. Why? Because I see them. Now I experience them. I perceive them. I perceive color and form through the eyes, sound through the ears, taste through the tongue, smell through the nose. Whatever it is, it doesn't have to be see means seeing. Please understand, seeing is not restricted only to eyes. Seeing includes inference also. If I infer that something has happened, that is also seeing. It is perception actually. More than seen, if we use the word perceive. So I perceive through the tongue, I perceive through the nose, I perceive through the ears, I perceive through the skin. So any kind of perceptions that I get, they fall under five, they are kshetra because they are perceived and they change. Okay, so that's that. Then, is that clear? This is clear, this was Icha. Desire. Desire is something which I have when I have experienced something which I like. I will not ever have desire for something which I experience which I have not liked. So that's why dvesha is opposite of desire. What is dvesha? Is something that I don't want to experience. I have experienced it. I shoveled snow 6 times. Now dvesha, I do not want to experience that snow again. Icha, something that I like. I liked this food or this music or this movie or these clothes. Then I want to go there. I know my desires. I know what I don't like, right? I know them. Not that Icha is kshetra means everybody has to see. My Icha, I can see. Your desire, you can see. What you don't like, you know. What I don't like, I know. So as long as it is known by anybody, it falls under kshetra. So therefore he says, Icha, desire, dvesha, sukham, dukham. So Icha is there for things that I like. And when I get it, I get sukha. And that sukha is perceived. I'm happy. I know when I'm happy. I know when I'm sad. So therefore sukham, dukham is also kshetra because they're seen. Sanghat is the body, mind, intellect, equipment. That is what sanghat is. And sanghat is seen. My body is seen by me as well as others. My mind and intellect is seen by myself. Already we talked about it. So that again falls under kshetra. And sanghatascha chetana dhruti. Now this word chetana here is very important. So we need to understand this chetana word, which I will explain in detail next time. We don't have enough time, but I'm going to go into the next one, dhruti. Dhruti, if you translate dhriti, it is patience. It means patience. But dhriti also means dharana shakti. Dharana shakti means that which holds. So what holds the body is actually this chetana. That's why we have to understand this chetana very in detail over here. So this chetana is what is holding the body. Now, what exactly is this chetana? Okay, that we have to now understand. Is it kshetradnya? But if it is kshetradnya, Bhagwan has put chetana in kshetra. This is where, Kulvanji, your thing comes. This is where Bhagwan is saying, chetana, is it kshetradnya? Because if it is kshetradnya, as we said in the earlier verse, in the verse number 2, we said, what is not inert is chetan. Now, this chetana, Bhagwan is putting into kshetra. Therefore, we need to understand this in depth. We will understand it next time. Etat kshetram samasena. So etat, all these, whatever I have enumerated, if you actually see, you know, all these, there's nothing other than this in the world. Think about it. Everything will fall under one of this. You say any word, it'll fall in one of these. So ichha, dvesha, sukham, dukham in the mind, and then mahabhuta and all objects, outside objects. So that's what he's telling us. That's why I told you. Therefore, Ramana Maharshi said, aham and idam, don't worry about idam. It is kshetra. It is inert. There's no need to worry about idam. You only worry about aham. Kshetradnya is aham. And chetana word he has used here. We will see that. Etat kshetram samasena savikara. Savikara means what? With vikara, with changes. All of these. If look at any one of these. Have not my desires changed? Have not my hatreds changed? Has not my sukham, what used to give me sukham, does not give me sukham anymore? What used to give me dukham may not be giving me dukham anymore. So everything is savikara. All these things that have been named, senses have changed. I could see very clearly with the, now I can't see without my glasses. Hearing aids I might need. So everything is changing. Therefore, they fall under kshetra. But Bhagwan has used the word chetana also. So we'll see chetana next time. Are there any questions? No questions? What I would, what I want to just tell everybody, those of you who have come directly into this chapter 13, I know not all of you were there from before. On Sunday, in my Sunday class, which is also on Zoom, I will be starting maybe another month or 6 weeks, starting from chapter 1. For those of you who would be interested to listen to Bhagavad Gita right from the beginning, that would be a good idea. You, those who are in Calgary and Saskatoon and Winnipeg and whoever, wherever that is, they can write to Abhimanyu Singh. Vancouver people know already, so that's not an issue. So you can let Abhimanyu know that you would be interested in that, and I'll make sure that when we start with chapter 1 that you get the link. That class is administered from here. So if you're interested in listening, because especially to come into Bhagavad Gita with chapter 13 is a bit this thing, but we'll try and simplify it. And if you have any questions, and if you think of any questions, you can always email me. Calgary people can email Abhimanyu and then he can send it to me. Or you can ask right now. Okay. All okay.
I would like to know one thing sometimes, is what is difference like Veda and Vedanta?
Veda and Vedanta, what is the difference?
Yeah, Vedanta philosophy is different from Vedic philosophy, or is it same?
It is the Vedic philosophy. Vedanta is end of the Vedas, where all knowledges end. Veda is coming from the root with, to know. And there are the four Vedas. And yep. Vedantic philosophy comes from the Vedas. So they are one and the same. Veda is the actual book. Vedanta is the philosophy. That's it. But that philosophy is from that book alone. Okay. Vedanta is not from somewhere else. Okay? No difference. All right. Everybody okay? All right. So next Monday, there will be a class, but I think the following Monday will be the Yajna. Have you received the flyer? You have, right? Because the flyer, you were supposed to receive the flyer, and I would like you to send it to your entire mailing list, okay? Not just the membership list. So send it to the, and Leela ji, when you get it, you can send it to your friends who are not in the classes also. You can send it's Bhagavad Gita chapter 12.
Yeah, we'll do. We'll do.
Yeah, you will get it from Abhimanyu. And then please, all of you, you can send it to any one of your friends. Okay, they can just join in. Okay. Om Swasti Prajabhyav Paripalayantam Nyayena Margena Mahim Mahishaha Go Brahmanebhya Shubhamastu Nityam Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu Kale Varshatu Parjanyaha Prithivi Sasya Shalini Desho Yamkshobharaita Brahmana Santu Nirbhayaha Om Sarvesham Swasti Bhavatu Sarvesham Shantir Bhavatu Sarvesham Purnam Bhavatu Sarvesham Mangalam Bhavatu Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha Sarve Santu Niramayaha Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu Makashya Dukhabhag Bhaveto Masatoma Sadgamaya Tamasoma Jyotirgamaya Mrityorma Amritam Gamaya Om Purnamadav Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Avashishate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.
Hari Om, everybody. I will see you.